in your words, that your say-so can be life, your say-so can be death, not just to you, but to others. When Moses writes these words, they are on the eve of God's people choosing for themselves, choosing words that will cause them to live in a wilderness for 40 years. We're learning that a wilderness in our life takes place and that it refers to the dry season and places in our life. That these are seasons that you and I are called by God into a time of spiritual growth, into a time of searching. Many of us are here this morning, and from the wilderness we've come searching this morning for peace, for purpose, and for power to live and to have a happy, fulfilling life. Now, one of the key themes or one of the key phrases I've been using through this series is simply this: no one can go back and make a brand new start. No one. No one can go back and make a brand new start, but anyone can start now and make a brand new ending. How do you start today? How do you start now on making a brand new ending for your life? Well, friend, I think it's really pretty simple. I think it begins one step, one act of obedience, and one word at a time. It's time for you and I as believers to become victorious and begin winning in our words. And if I was to title this morning's time together, I would call it The Power of One. Again, how many words does it take to make someone feel stupid, to make someone feel rejected, to kill someone's dreams, or to leave them feeling hopeless? How many words does it take to destroy someone's self-image? How many words does it take to make someone feel worthless or to forget about everything that God created them to be? As you saw this morning in our media presentation, and as you are seeing today in my words and His word, it only takes one word. Proverbs tells us in chapter 18 and verse 21 that there is literal life and death in the power of our tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Friend, I'm not just talking about the words that you speak to others, but how many of you know that sometimes your greatest enemy is not in the individuals around you, but the person on the inside of you? Some of us are here today and we are feeling like victims trapped in a dry place of a wilderness in our life going on 40 plus years, and the problem's not so much about those things that we listen to on the outside, but the voice that we listen to on the inside. It kind of sounds like our voice. And over again, it's been through our voice that we've listened to a word, a wording that makes us feel stupid, that constantly sets us up to feel rejected, that is constantly stealing from us our dreams and leaving us feeling hopeless. You see, friends, sometimes it's your voice filled with your words that is death to your life and to your self-image. And you're sitting here this morning and you are that person feeling worthless, and you're feeling like you have forgotten about everything God created you to be, or you feel like God has forgotten about everything He created you to be, and it came not as a result of the enemy against you or the God for you, it came as a result of the words you've been listening to. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, and I'd like for us to go there as a congregation now. He tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 that our very world is formed and framed by our words. That's how powerful these words of life and death are to us. It's time for us, if we're going to break living in these wildernesses and break the wilderness living in us, that we become overcomers in the way that we use words, because words frame our days. And Hebrews chapter 11 begins in the first verse, and it says, "Now faith." What kind of faith? Now, do you need faith for the trial you're going through right now? Do you need that faith, oh, say, tomorrow? Do you need it next week? Do you need faith to go through the trial you're going through today, next month, or next year? Yes and no. Yes, meaning we constantly have a need for faith. And yet we don't need faith tomorrow for something we face today. We need something right now. We need some now faith so that we can walk through what we're facing right now. The Bible says now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by what? The Word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We see at work here in this passage of Scripture that God literally used the Word, His Word, to create the world. He framed the world with His Word. Friend, you and I can step into that same power when we speak His Word from the secret place. When we learn not just to receive grace and have grace, but speak grace from the secret place, we literally have His Word to frame and to form the world that we're living in. Now, I'd like for you to take your pen or your pencil and your amen, if I can hear it again. And I would like for you to circle the word framed. Because I have found that when people amen me, I don't have to go back and re-say it creatively and redundantly. I found that it shortens the sermon when I hear amens. It shortens the sermon I'm preaching, and it releases God to preach His Word. And God's Word many times is like 1,000 years. Now, this word framed, it comes from a Greek word meaning, and here's what His Word represents here. It means that He used His Word to mend what had been broken or rent, to repair it. It also means to equip or to put it in order. It means to arrange or to adjust it, to fit or frame for oneself, or to prepare someone's world with His Word. Now, if you were to back up and apply this ethically, it would mean that God uses His Word to strengthen, to perfect, to complete, to make one what he ought to be. That's how powerful God's Word in your life and through your tongue is when you speak it. When you speak His grace from the secret place, it begins to mend all of the things broken and rent and that needs to be repaired in your life. That's how powerful His Word is. His Word begins to put you in order. It equips you. It arranges you. It adjusts you. It fits you according to His Word and not according to your world. Now, your world around you will frame you. It will set you up to taste over and over again the agony of defeat. But God's Word puts you in the right position. And when you speak His Word, His strength comes out of that Word and He begins to perfect you, complete you, and make you everything He said He had designed you to be and to become. Now, how many of you enjoy buying new things? Using other people's money? Oh, I knew I could find your amen. I just had to scrounge around a little bit for it. But my wife and I, for 20 years, we have always loved to buy new things, haven't we? I mean, there is just something special about getting to go buy something new. Whether it be a house, a car, another tie, some cufflinks, I'm living the dream. Now, so you and I are all in the same world of at times needing to buy things. So we understand that something new comes as a result of our ability to purchase, our ability to have resource to purchase, and it brings us fullness. Now, let's just say, for instance, today, the Lord blessed you. I don't think you can relate to that. Let's just say that today the Lord let you down. No, let's go back over here. Let's just say today the Lord blessed you. Thank you, the three of you that really expressed that the Lord could bless you. Let's try it on one more time. Let's just say that this was the day that the Lord has made. Yes. And He did something so special in this day that He released a provision of Himself through your words in such a way that resource began to break limitation and the spirit of impossibilities in your life. And the Lord says, you've got in the spirit what you need to buy in the natural. You just go on down there and take care of it. Because you bless. And let's say you went down somewhere and you found what it was you were looking for. And man, it sold itself. And there was a salesperson that kept trying to point out all of the bells and whistles. And you didn't need all those bells and whistles because it sold itself. I mean, you saw that there was value, that this was not a cost but an investment, and you saw that this new thing would better your life. And you didn't need that person to sell the car, sell the house, sell the suit, sell the tie, sell the cufflinks. The product sold itself. And let's say you're there, and the whole time the product is selling itself. The product sold itself. The product said that by my stripes you will be healed. The product sold itself. The product said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. The product said, your sins are forgiven. The blood of Jesus is against every enemy, including Satan. And that Satan, the blood of Jesus, is against you. And that Satan, no weapon you can form can prosper against my people, because the product sells itself. But let's say whatever you were purchasing, while it sold itself, the salesman kept trying to keep you from buying it. Would that change it a little bit? Because sometimes we're believers that act like that. The product can sell itself. Just let it go. Just let it out. Just live it. But let's say you were purchasing something, and the whole time, the individual selling it made it more about them than the product. Because sometimes we're guilty. We make the way we live more about us than about him. And let's say we were picking out, a Mustang. Candy apple red. Black pinstriping. A V8. The kind that when you grew up as a teenager in my hometown, you heard us miles away before we got there. You know the kind, come on men, help me here, that when you pull it into the garage, you got to hit the gas one more time just to hear those glass packs pop and talk back to you. It might be 1 o'clock in the morning, but you just got to touch that pedal one more time. You know the kind of Mustang you drive down the road, and you're thinking, if my friends could see me now, I wonder where they are. I think they're at a baseball park. I'll just be in the neighborhood and drive by. I'm just in the neighborhood. Is that your Mustang? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Are those your little fuzzy dice hanging from the mirror? Yeah. Are you breathing? So let's say someone's selling you the car of your choice, and it happens to be a Mustang. And the whole time the salesperson makes it about them, not you and not the product. Well, I've really been going through a bad time. I don't think you should buy this car because you'll probably go through a bad time. I knew someone one time, and they went through a bad time, and you look like that someone, and I think you're going to have a bad time. And, it's just been so bad, and we're just going through so much. I've been calling all the salespeople here, trying to find someone to encourage and strengthen me. You don't want to buy that car. I know you got what it takes to pay for it. It's just going to bring you trouble.
Now, what would that make your experience with new? What would it make it like? This is the studio participation part. She said negative. Excuse me? Bummer.
Oh, there you go. Bummer. Yeah.
Would you want to go there? Now I got you. Because we're not talking Mustangs this morning. We're talking the Word of God, that through the spoken mouth of God formed and framed the world and brought life eternal and life abundant to each and every one of us. And the world is looking for that new. The world is looking for that life. The product sells itself, but sometimes you and I, in carrying the product to a world, we make the gospel more about us than about him. Okay, have you got your toes in the aisles? Be sure, touch three people around you and say, get him in the aisle. Here comes Pastor. He wants to step on him. Okay, then let me talk to you personally. Something's wrong when the most miserable people on a consistent basis are the Spirit-filled believers that are in the same place and the same pew week after week after week after week. You ask them how they're doing, and they're never up. They're always down. They're never the head. They are the tail. Something's wrong. Something's not wrong with the product. Something's not wrong with the person. But something's wrong in us when you and I continue to live at this level, when the Word of God says, mm-mm, that's less than. I've not even made you equal to. I've made you more than. You are more than discouragement. You are more than doubt. You are more than fear. You are more than the valley of the shadow of death. You are more than sin. You are more. You're just more. So walk that way and talk that way, because words are powerful little things that can become and can produce really big things. Don't believe me? Answer this question wrong. What question is that? That question, husbands, is when your wife comes in with a new outfit and says, "Honey, does this make me look big?" Choose your little bitty words. Because if you don't choose them right, those little bitty words will create big problems. James chapter 3 says this, "Even so the tongue is a little member, but he boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire can kindle. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body." Do you see what happens to us? We get our faith right. We get our feet right. We get our legs right. We get our whole body right. We're in the place God can bless us. And then at the time that we're to step out and get blessed, our mouth undoes our whole body. It says that this little tongue defiles the whole body, and it setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire, the fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude or the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. You see, our words have the ability to make us or to break us. Our little words can be a big blessing or a big curse. I think what the Lord is saying here is that he never meant for our words to be filled with anything less than praise to him and a blessing to others. Now shout, that includes me. Sometimes we are the last to remember we, or in this case, the power of me. I want you to think about those little bitty words you keep saying to yourself that have become big obstacles, big stumbling blocks to your faith. See, it's words that put into motion on the outside what we've been thinking on the inside. Your words are the echo of the words you've been listening to on the inside. How many of you have ever been to the Grand Canyon? That's a big thing. How many of you know it's big? And how many of you ever played the echo game there? And you got in one place and you said, "Hello!" And a voice just like yours, it sounded just like yours, came back talking to you. "Hello! Hello!" When I did it, I said, "Hello!" And this voice came back to me and said, "Hey, big guy, what's going on, overcomer? You are more than a conqueror. You're the most handsome guy we have ever seen at the Grand Canyon." "You are the man." And I was like, "Who, me?" Okay, now let's get serious. Your heart is a big canyon. It's the Grand Canyon. And you can fill it with all kinds of things on the inside. And they're going to echo back. And they're either going to stir up your faith or your fear. Because you're going to have both. You've got to make sure that what you're listening to on the inside is your faith, so that when it comes time to live as an overcomer, guess what goes public on the outside? Your faith. The Bible says that it's literally an overflow. Your words are an overflow of your heart. Matthew writes about it in chapter 12, where he says, "Make a tree good, or make a person good, and their fruit will be good. But if you make a tree or a person bad, the fruit will be bad." You see, some of us have been listening to all the wrong thing on the inside, and then we're shocked when we keep getting all the wrong things on the outside. And we look at all these wrong things, and we try to blame our boss, our spouse, our children, our mom, our dad, our grandmother, our neighbor, our pastor, the ushers, the media team. Man, we are an equal opportunity employer when it comes to blaming someone. But if you ain't putting good in, don't be expecting good to come out. I want you to turn to someone, tell them, you know your evil and must be destroyed. Verse 34, you brood of vipers. I heard a story once of a preacher that was going to resign, and that was his sermon text that morning. You brood of vipers. It's not y'all. Or is it? You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? I think believers always assume that evil is somewhere outside them and outside the church. That evil doesn't look like the same thing when it comes out of our life, so we don't always spot it. But notice here he says, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth does speak. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Now I want to talk about judgment, and then we're going to be out of here. And what I want to talk about is how today is the judge of what you've spoken yesterday. Your words are being judged. You are being held accountable to them every day. And the day after is always a judge of the day before. Many of us have arrived at where we are today for all that we've listened to in previous days. And today we're just continuing to sing the same song and use the same words that we used yesterday and the day before and the day before. And the words sound something like this. I'm insecure. I'm not good enough. I'm hurt. I'm weak. People don't love me. I'm stupid. I feel hopeless. I'm helpless. There's no hope. There's no reason to go on. Why even try? I'm just a sinner. I'll just give up. And so we're shocked that today we feel all that. Well, I'm a little down. Really? Not enough coffee? No, I've had two pots. Yeah. Miss breakfast? No, if Shipley's counts and then Starbucks after, yeah. Do you understand that each and every day, the day after judges the day before? And some of us have arrived at where we are in our life on the outside because of what we've continued to hold on to, hold dearly to, and speak from on the inside. Because words put in motion on the outside who and what we've been thinking on the inside. Words literally position your walk. And it'll either be a walk of faith or a walk of fear. How many of you know that faith and fear have a whole lot in common? They share the same definition, but they have far different destinations. Let's talk about that. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for. Hadn't happened yet, but we're hoping for it. And certain of what we do not see. We don't see it, but we're hoping to seize it. Fear works the same way. We get this fear going, and we are so sure of something that hasn't happened yet, but something that's going to happen, that we believe it right into existence through our fears. We're certain we do not see this thing we fear, but in days to come, based on days that have gone by, what hurt me before is going to hurt me again. So I'm just waiting. I'm just building up my resource to be hurt again. Your fear becomes your faith. And it becomes... I feel like I'm in a Super Bowl commercial. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith and fear come by what you're listening to on the inside. If you've been around someone who speaks faith, you will want to be around that person because inside they have unleashed the God of their faith, and he is the author, and they're in the midst of him finishing what they see by faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the certainty of things we do not yet see. And it's your word that takes what you see in your heart and moves it to what you see in your hands. I want to close this morning by going back and backward masking and ask our original question in a little different way. How many words does it take to make someone who feels stupid look wise? How many words does it take to make someone who feels rejected feel accepted? How many words does it take not to kill but to heal someone's dreams? How many words does it take to make someone who feels hopeless experience living hope? How many words does it take to recreate someone's self-image that the enemy has sought to destroy? How many words does it take to make someone who feels worthless feel holy and acceptable and good enough to remember everything that God created them to be? How many words? One. And you have His word on it. Now you've got His word on it, but have you got His word in it? See, this is a lethal weapon. I'm not afraid to use it. But are you? I want to read to you about 12 chapters of verses that I think is going to help you. And they're all going to have the same word. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. That's all it takes is one word. And the Word was with God. And the Word, you mean this Word is and was and always will be? So you mean to tell me that when the enemy comes in like a flood, God, I got your word on it. Here's the standard. It rushes in around us. The word stands and never falls. But see, notice it fell towards the trial. And that's the bridge of victory. So I can have a way out. Stand to your feet this morning. I leave you with Philippians chapter 2. It says in verse 10 that at the name of one word, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Psalms 107 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so with your praise. Say so with your thanksgiving. One word, and He's changing your world. One word. Put your hands together and shout this morning with a voice of triumph.
Come on, continue to praise Him. Man, that was awesome.